Today it's Pentagon Solutions in the 3 o'clock hour, and as we do every Wednesday at 3, we're looking at the challenges the Pentagon is dealing with and potential solutions to them. And one solution Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel believes he has found is a solution for furloughs. He announced it yesterday at a town hall meeting at the Mark Center over in Alexandria, talking about the status of DOD's budget and its official furlough plan, and we'll hear from him in just a moment. I want to let you know later on in the hour, you'll hear highlights of a hearing on the Army and Air Force budget plans for fiscal 2014. But we start, of course, with Secretary Hagel talking about the work Defense Department employees do. He admits it's a difficult time for him to take over at DOD.
You all have a lot of options in your lives. You will continue to have many options. But yet you prefer to do this job. There comes with this job, as you all note, and I have always admired, long before I had the privilege of serving with you as part of your team, the purposefulness of your job. You're leading purposeful lives. We all, I think, strive to do that with our lives and whatever abilities God has given each of us and how we develop those. But to make a difference in the world is about as good as it can get. And in the end, when we inventory what we did with our lives, that's a pretty significant question to ask yourself, because you ask yourself, and I ask myself every day, does it matter what we do? Does it matter what I'm doing, what each of us is doing? And it does. I say that in a way of first thanking you and also recognizing that I know, as Secretary of Defense, what you do. I don't know every detail of everything you do every day. I don't need to. I know enough. And you don't often get recognized for that. So thank you. We're living at a difficult time. I was saying last night at a dinner off the record with a number of journalists, I don't know of a time in our history, especially in our lifetimes, when it has been more difficult to govern. I don't know when it has been more difficult to lead, for all the reasons you know. The pressures that we have in our society, in the world, the threats, the complications, technology, it has really had an impact on everything. And in many ways, we are seeing institutions and consequently individuals come loose of their moorings. We're a transient society. When I was growing up in a little towns in Nebraska, I mean, you stayed in one place. I mean, your parents worked in the same state, or maybe you moved to some different towns, but you were anchored to something. You didn't have technology on how you communicate. You communicated with each other. You talked to each other. You socialized with each other. You didn't have Facebook, and you didn't have Internet, and you didn't have the clippy little one-sentence deals that, well, I'll email you, which is, we're not going to go backward, and I'm not... my children may disagree. I'm not a dinosaur. But it's all impacting on all of us in every way. And so we are living at a very difficult time. But yet it's a defining time. It's a time when we are truly building a new world order. And that's pretty significant. Not many generations, not many people ever have an opportunity in their careers, in their lifetimes, to say they lived at such a time. We are living at such a time. How it comes out, I don't know. But I do know this, it will come out based on what we do. We have control of our own destiny. We can define our future. Yes, there are more uncontrollables today than ever before. Yes, there are more complications. Yes, there are more sophisticated threats. But still, there isn't a country in the world like America. There is not a country in the world that's in our universe. Doesn't mean we're right. Doesn't mean we're better. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Not at all. But we have an amazing system for many reasons. If for no other, It is a system that allows us to self-correct, just like each of us as individuals. We all know when we're maybe veering a little bit too far in different directions, and you self-correct. We have a system that allows us to self-correct. Now, with all that said, I wanted to, before I get into some of the comments I want to make and address specifically here, I wanted to make the overall point that what you're doing is important. It will continue to be important. Many, many people in the country recognize that. Not just me. I'm just a passing steward on the stage. But as long as I'm here, I've got a responsibility. And that is not to let our country down, not to let you down. And you have the same responsibility to the country, not to me, not to me, but to the country, to that purposeful life that you have. So I want to talk about something that I wish I didn't have to talk about today, and that is a decision I've made, which I suspect everybody's heard about already, and it's been coming, and that is a decision on furloughs. Let me, before I get into the specifics of that, make a couple of frame up points. You know what the budget is about. You're all dealing with it every day. March 1st, we went into what, as you all know, as sequestration. That has produced a situation for us, Department of Defense, our budget, where we have found ourselves, through sequestration, about $30 billion short in our operations and maintenance account, the overall accounts. And there's another probably $7 to $8 billion in additional deficits in some of our other accounts. We're going to have to deal with that. We don't have any choice.
That's Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel on Pentagon Solutions today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, speaking at a town hall at the Mark Center yesterday talking about furloughs at the Pentagon. You'll hear more from him in just a minute on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Dedicated to your agency's mission. And at Federal News Radio, we're dedicated to making that mission easier. We give you access to the people, policy, and programs that affect you every day from the voices that matter most. Hear for yourself. Federal CIO Stephen Van Rokel.
The mentality of let's cut the bottom of our list off, the things that are least effective, that are maybe duplicative, and let's take part of that and let's feed the top of the list. We can invest in innovation. We can invest in cost savings, efficiency, and effectiveness of our employees or services that touch citizens.
Former DOD Chief Information Assurance Officer Robert Lentz.
The CIO is really the focal point in an information age business. Unfortunately, they oftentimes get trivialized to just manage the IT budget. In fact, I think the CIO has actually lost influence and power.
In your car, online, on the go on your mobile device, Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, picture your family and home safe and secure with Ackerman Security Systems. Picture yourself controlling your system remotely on your mobile phone anytime, anywhere. Picture yourself getting video clips and texts of happenings at home before your kids get home from school. Picture everything you can do with the money saved by choosing Ackerman Security.
Talk about money saved. Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring is only $18.95 a month. And here's a special offer for May only. Get up to 6 months of monitoring free. There really is a good reason Ackerman Security Systems is the Washington area's most trusted security company. It's because at Ackerman, security is all they do, and they do it better than anyone else. And with a special like up to 6 months free, why wait? Make the switch to Ackerman. This offer's only good in May. Call today, 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Balintvi. Mowing the lawn, working under a car, or even hammering a nail, all are potential risks for eye injury.
For that, we recommend barrier eye protection.
Dr. Rachel Bishop at NIH says sports as well.
People need to be aware that anytime something could fly into their eye, you should consider protection, certainly with yard work.
Protective eyewear includes safety glasses and goggles, safety shields, and eye guards. They can be found at many places, including many sports and hardware stores. For details on protecting your eyes and other important tips to remember during Healthy Vision Month this May, visit www.nei.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by NIH, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Thursday's Federal Drive. Everywhere you look this week, it seems like somebody is checking up on someone else. Privacy lawyer Michael Sussman joins us with the ramifications of an FBI plan for collecting web surfing data. Plus, what could make more sense than the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration moving to the cloud? Those stories and much more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Pentagon Solutions Today featuring remarks by Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel speaking at the Mark Center yesterday about DOD's budget and the official furlough plan his agency has devised. In this highlight, he maps out the specifics of that furlough plan.
Over the last 2.5 months, and that's how long I've been in this job, I have worked every day with our comptroller, who's here today, and he and his people deserve a tremendous amount of credit for working on this, because this has been a very difficult process. How do we minimize the pain for our people? That's the first priority, as well as why we're all here, and that is our core missions: readiness and protect this country. And I don't think anybody argues with that. Now, how do we balance that and assure the security of this country and protecting our core missions doing what's right, doing what's fair for our people? Because it doesn't make any difference how good equipment you have or how sophisticated or what the process is. Without people, it doesn't work. People are the most important asset any institution has. So as we started this process, when I got here 2.5 months ago, there was a very real, more than possibility, but probability, we were going to most likely have to look at a 22-day furlough decision. Through a lot of hard work by our leaders at every level, in every service, both uniformed and civilian, and through a reprogramming effort that we got through so that Bob Hale and his people could move money around in different accounts, we got that down to where we thought we were at 14. Then we kept going back. And finally, we got to a point where I could not responsibly go any deeper into cutting or jeopardizing our core missions on readiness and training, and I just couldn't do any more. That means that I've made a decision that we'll go forward with furloughs starting July 8th of 11 days. If we can do better as we get through the front end of this over the next few months, then we might be in a position to be able to knock that back. I can't promise that. I won't promise that. You deserve fair, honest, direct conversation about this. And I'm not going to be cute with you at all. This is where we are. We'll continue to look at it. We're going to continue to do everything we can. We have cut maintenance. We have cut training. You probably know, because you're all involved in some capacity of this, our Army training is done for the fiscal year. We've had to bring wings down. We've had to idle ships. There will be exceptions to this. The exceptions will be based on law. We based on readiness and essential components to the civilian workforce. And we've gone through all that. We've gone through all that many times over. We'll follow OPM guidelines. I said when I first got here on this issue, I knew we would be faced with this. Everybody knew it. That, and I instructed all of our leaders, and we've done it this way, we have to be fair. And I have had various options to look at. I've looked at all of them. I've had different recommendations from all the services, all the civilian leaders. But what guided me on this, after the realization that we had to make some tough choices, we've got to be fair. And everybody has to be treated the same here, except for those exceptions where there is an essential role that they play. We've evaluated that on law. We've evaluated that on readiness. We've evaluated that on core missions. As I said, if we can do better, and we'll continue to search for ways to do better, but right now I can't run this institution into the ditch. This will go until the end of the fiscal year. We've taken it as close to the line as we can and still capable of protecting this country and this country's interests around the world. We still have a war going on. Unfortunately, we still have casualties. We've got a lot of very dangerous, unpredictable places in the world. And I can't put this country in jeopardy by not factoring that in the end as the overall most significant responsibility, as well as treating our people right, as treating our people fair. Difficult choice. But we had to make it, and I tried everything. We did everything we could, not to get to this day this way. But that's it. That's where we are. And I think at this point, let me end, and again thank you for everything you do, and recognize as I go to questions next, I know. The leaders of this institution know the hardship this decision puts on everybody and your families. We're not unmindful of that. That's the most distressing part of this decision. We recognize that. And I'm sorry about that. But I've got to be honest and deal with the facts. You deserve honesty. You deserve the facts. And I appreciate what you're doing. And I know this is going to be difficult, but we'll get through this. And I said to everyone going in, we're going in together, we're coming out together. No one service, no one's going to be protected more than anybody else. And budgets are different, and everybody's budget's a little different. But we're all in this together, and I can't allow this great institution that does so much for our country, with such great tradition and history, with such great people, to get picked apart inside by each other, and I won't allow that to happen.
That's Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel wrapping up his statement about furloughs at the Defense Department yesterday at the Mark Center on Pentagon Solutions on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You'll hear some of the questions and answers that Secretary Hagel alluded to when we continue on Pentagon Solutions next on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Like the forecast is calling for a whole new cloud. Brought to you by CenturyLink. Get a visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions with CenturyLink, all built on a global, secure, carrier-grade network. And their custom solutions and support models are designed to enhance your efficiency every day of the week. Let their cloud infrastructure blanket you with security. Visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov to learn more.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The year was 1930. The epic flight that had made Charles Lindbergh a superstar was in the history books, and the Spirit of St. Louis was in the Smithsonian. But Lucky Lindy had his sights on a new challenge, a non-stop flight across the U.S. To accomplish this feat, he needed more than luck. He needed a new plane. For that, he turned to Lockheed, where under his watchful eye, the Lockheed Sirius took shape. In April of that year, with his wife Anne Morrow Lindbergh acting as co-pilot, he took off from Los Angeles and arrived in New York City a mere 14 hours, 45 minutes, 32 seconds later. They'd broken the record by 3 hours. 60 years later, another museum-bound aircraft, Lockheed Martin's SR-71, crossed the country in just over 1 hour and took its place alongside the Spirit of St. Louis. Their stories are our stories. See them unfold at LockheedMartin.com/100 years.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
Quit and help others. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. If you're thinking about quitting smoking, there are some steps you can take to get there. Just ask Tiffany. She did it. Here's how.
I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more.
Her most enduring motivation to stay quit has been her daughter and the memory of her mother.
She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16.
The Tips from Former Smokers campaign features real people like Tiffany. If you know someone who is thinking about quitting, encourage them. If you smoke, you can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW for free help. Within 20 minutes, your heart rate and blood pressure drop. After 3 months of quitting, your breathing improves. After a year of quitting, your risk of heart disease is cut in half. Learn more at betobaccofree.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
PortfolioStat was first introduced by the Office of Management and Budget as a tool for agencies to assess their IT portfolios for duplicative programs, systems, and resources. In March 2013, the OMB released PortfolioStat 2.0, which incorporates best practices, integrates the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, and streamlines agency reporting requirements. Join FCA Bethesda on May 22nd as agency executives take a look at how these new processes will better drive IT management and investments. Register today at fcabethesda.org/maybreakfast.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You're hearing highlights in this part of the program on Pentagon Solutions today from Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel speaking at a town hall discussion at the Mark Center yesterday, talking to DOD personnel there about a furlough plan for 2013, the rest of the fiscal year. And you can read all about it now at federalnewsradio.com, right on our homepage. My colleague Jared Serbu doing a story on it. Later this afternoon, you can also find a link to Secretary Hagel's comments. You can watch video of that. But in this highlight, an answer from Secretary Hagel to a question from the audience about the specifics of the agency's furlough plan.
Now that we know that we'll have 11 furlough days, will it be 2 furloughs per pay period, or will it be 1 furlough per pay period?
We're looking at, and I don't want to get too deep into how we're going to administer, because all your supervisors should have by now, or will this afternoon, I think, get directions and instructions on all these specific questions, yours being one of them. But I think what they're thinking about, and Bob, just it's two per pay period, right? So that'd be, what, one per week. Yeah, but I think that's the general guideline. Is that right? But your supervisors, all the leaders of your institutions, will have the specific guidelines on this. And I know there will be questions. I know that. We've tried to think through every possible question, and we've got a lot of pieces to this. We've got unions, and we've got different authorities. We're dealing with all of them. We've been today talking with all these different authorities, Capitol Hill, think tanks, the White House, so that what I'm saying to you today is being rolled out with all these different authorities all day today. But to your specific question, I think it's 2 days per period, pay period, so that 1 day a week. But you will be able to work those things out with your supervisors.
That's Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel answering questions about the Defense Department's furlough plan. In this highlight, he's answering a question about alternative plans or ways to try to avoid furloughs altogether.
I know some other large agencies have managed to make cuts without resorting to furloughs by cutting their contracting. For example, the Department of State, I know, has done that and isn't going to be furloughing any employees. Is there any possibility that DOD could use those strategies going forward to reduce the number of days or eliminate them altogether? Thank you.
Thank you. And it's a question that we went into great detail, great depth, great width on. In fact, there are a number of adjustments on this in that general area of contracts and acquisitions and procurement and other accounts. But we did explore it at every level. I asked, that was one of the first questions I asked, was your question. We looked at this in every way we could possibly look at it. Bob Hale and people in all the different agencies and the leadership spent many weekends, and still do, going through this. They would come back to me on a Monday or Tuesday, and I'd send them back. I'd say, go back. Find it somewhere else. But I think I have confidence that we have run it now right to the edge, where I just can't hold back anymore. I had to make a decision for the good of the security of this country and for everybody. But believe me, we looked at everything, including your question.
That is Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel answering a question about avoiding furloughs altogether at the Pentagon. This from a town hall meeting at the Mark Center yesterday, where Secretary Hagel laid out the Defense Department's furlough plan. You're hearing it on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. In our final highlight from this town hall meeting, he's answering a question about the future of Defense Department employees.
I know that we have to deal with the situation at hand, like you said, but going forward, is there any protection for us as federal workers that we won't have to endure something like this again, or will we have to deal with this again next year? As a federal employee, we have took a great deal of hits in these past couple of years, so it's a great interest to a lot of us.
Well, your question's an important question, and I would give you this answer because it's the best answer I can give you. I can't guarantee you that we're not going to be in some kind of a similar situation next year. I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. But what we're doing here is we're just trying to survive and get through this fiscal year. I would hope, but you can't run an operation. You can't lead an operation. You can't have so many people dependent and the country dependent on leadership based on hope. I hope that we will be in a better situation all the way around. I've got some confidence that will occur. But I'm not going to stand here and promise you that it won't. So we're dealing with what we've got to deal with in front of us right now. We're all trying to get to some high ground for FY 2014, which, as you know, begins October 1st, and then we'll see. But I know that's not a good answer. No one likes uncertainty. It's a dark cloud that hangs over everybody's lives. I know for your families. I know for every part of your lives. It's not a good answer, but it's an honest answer. We will do everything possible not to not to have to be in this situation again, but a good amount of this is out of our control, too.
That is Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel speaking at a town hall meeting at the Mark Center yesterday, introducing the Pentagon's furlough plan, 11 days, and you can read all the details about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and you can hear Secretary Hagel's presentation later today, too. When we continue on the Pentagon Solutions on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, a look at the Army and Air Force budget plans for fiscal 2014. This is In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be right back.
Leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On Sunday, May 19th, we'll be celebrating Robert Mondavi's 100th birthday with Mondavi Wines here in studio. And have you been to Dakaya yet? If you hadn't, you'll hear all about it from the owner, Katsuya Fukushima.
My 100th birthday's coming up. That's Foodie and the Beast, this Sunday and every Sunday at 11, right here on 1500 AM.
Are you a federal employee or government contractor? FederalNewsRadio.com is the best source for news that helps you do your job better. Our news team brings you the latest on federal pay and benefits, technology, defense, retirement, acquisition, and the federal budget as it's happening. FederalNewsRadio.com gives a voice to the federal community. Read and hear interviews with federal leaders, members of Congress, and industry. Find it all at FederalNewsRadio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our breaking news email alerts.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
Charlie Allen, he's a principal of the Chertoff Group and former assistant director of the CIA.
Every day we have tens of thousands of CBP officers, immigration customs enforcement officers at airports of entry. I think they're doing a pretty darn good job, and the information flows back and forth between intelligence and law enforcement in ways that are unprecedented. I pushed information vigorously down to the fusion centers. Some states have as many as 4 fusion centers.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now your DoD report every weekday afternoon at 40 minutes after the hour, brought to you by BAE Systems. And when, as we continue on Pentagon Solutions, you're listening now to Army and Air Force budget plans for fiscal 2014. Catherine Hammack, Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment, and Kathleen Ferguson, Acting Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Installations, Environment, and Logistics, testifying before the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Construction, Veterans Affairs, and Related Agencies. As they testified before this committee yesterday, talking about their plans for fiscal 2014. First, we hear from Secretary Hammack of the Army.
For fiscal year 14, the Army requests $2.4 billion for military construction, family housing, and the Army's share of the DoD base closure account. This represents a 34% reduction from our fiscal year 2013 MILCON request and is equitably distributed among the active Army, Army National Guard, and Army Reserve. The $2.4 billion request includes $1.6 billion for military construction for the active Army, or $1.6 billion for military construction for the whole Army, and of that, $1.12 is for the active Army, $321 million for the National Guard, and $174 million for the Army Reserve. Of the $2.4, $500 million is for Army family housing, and $180 million is for the base closure account. As you know, the Army is reducing its end strength and force structure by about 14%, or 80,000 soldiers. We are in the process of completing a forced structure realignment analysis, which will be released next month and announce the impacted brigade combat teams. The resulting force structure reduction to 490,000 in the active Army will create excess capacity at several installations. In line with force structure reductions in Europe, the Army is already downsizing our infrastructure there. With a 45% reduction in force structure in Europe, the Army is implementing a 51% reduction in infrastructure, a 58% reduction in civilian staffing, and a 57% reduction in base operating costs. We are working closely with the Office of the Secretary of Defense to examine whether there are additional opportunities for consolidation in Europe through joint or multi-service consolidation. A future round of base realignment or closure, or BRAC, in the United States is essential to identify and reduce excess Army infrastructure, prudently align our civilian staffing with reduced uniform force structure. If Army force structure declines but facility overhead and civilian support staff remain constant, our ability to invest in equipment, training, and maintenance will be reduced. I ask for the committee's continued commitment to our soldiers, families, and civilians in support of the Army's MILCON and installations programs. The Army's fiscal 2014 installation management budget request is a program that supports the Army's needs while recognizing the current fiscal conditions. The Army fully supports the President's request for authority from Congress to conduct a BRAC round in 2015. The Army strengthens its soldiers, families, and Army civilians who support them. They are and will continue to be the centerpiece for the Army.
That's Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment, Catherine Hammack, on the department's fiscal 2014 budget plan. Another highlight from this Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing, Kathleen Ferguson, Acting Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Installations, Environment, and Logistics, on their 2014 budget plan.
Our FY14 budget request contains $1.3 billion for military construction, $2.2 billion for facility sustainment, $813 million for restoration and modernization, and $465 million for military family housing. In FY13, we took a deliberate pause in MILCON to ensure we were making the right capital investment decisions as force structure adjustments were being made in line with the emerging defense strategy. Our FY14 MILCON request is $900 million above our FY13 request and returns us to near historic funding levels, supports the department's strategic priorities, and supports our top weapon systems modernization programs. Ensuring component equity targets were met, approximately $120 million and $46 million were distributed to the Guard and Reserve components respectively. This is an increase of $77 million for the Guard and $35 million for the Reserve between FY13 and 14. This budget request reflects our ongoing modernization effort. This includes critical infrastructure for the F-35 and KC-46, recapitalization of U.S. Strategic Command headquarters, and construction of the new Cyber Command Joint Operations Center. Included in this budget request is $265 million at unspecified locations to support the KC-46 bed down. We will submit site-specific military construction data request forms in late May after preferred and reasonable alternative bases are announced, and we respectfully request the committee's support of this substitution. The Air Force strongly supports the department's request for another round of BRAC in 2015. While we have no current capacity analysis from which to draw, our capacity analysis from 2004 suggested that 24% of basing infrastructure was excess to needs. BRAC 2005 did not result in major reductions to the Air Force, and since that time, our force structure has been cut by more than 500 aircraft, and our active duty military end strength has been reduced by nearly 8%. We continue to spend money maintaining excess infrastructure that would be better spent on recapitalization and sustainment. Divestiture of excess property on a grander scale is a must. During this period of fiscal uncertainty, the Guard, Reserve, and active components are ready to make the tough decisions required to avoid mission-impacting reductions in installation support that contribute to a hollow force. Our fiscal year 2014 budget request addresses our most pressing needs, seeks authorization to eliminate unnecessary infrastructure, and it stays true to the fundamental priorities of our Air Force.
That's Kathleen Ferguson, the Acting Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Installations, Environment, and Logistics. When we come back, more testimony before the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Construction, Veterans Affairs, and Related Agencies on Pentagon Solutions on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You get your DOD report weekday afternoons at 40 minutes after the hour, brought to you by BAE Systems.
When faced with opportunities and challenges, it's important to have a reliable information technology partner on your side. Make a confident choice with GovConnection. Our extensive experience serving the federal marketplace ensures we can identify and apply the right purchasing vehicles to equip your organization with the right tools to accomplish your mission. The IT marketplace is full of companies who claim to be different. Choose GovConnection and we'll prove it to you. Call GovConnection today at 800-800-0019. That's 800-800-0019.
Sponsored by Eaton.
At BAE Systems, we always focus on keeping troops safe. One challenge military pilots face, it's called a brownout. When helicopter pilots confront dust storms or fog, the risk of collision is much higher. That's why we created a technology that lets pilots see terrain and obstacles through these conditions. Knowing our work helps to save lives inspires us every day. We'll be there on the next front. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/nextfront.
Here are some tips for a fun-filled weekend with Marvin Bond, editor of Recreation News. Any good activities coming up for history buffs?
The John W. Brown is one of the few remaining World War II Liberty ships. You can actually take a six-hour cruise on her June 1st, September 7th, or October 5th out of Baltimore. It's a great experience with 1940s entertainment. There are living history folks on board and even attacks by enemy aircraft. Find out more at liberty-ship.com or at recreationnews.com. The reenactment of the Battle of New Market, Virginia in 1864 takes place on May the 18th and 19th this year. This is one of the few reenactments that is actually on the original battle site down in New Market. It's always a quality event. They've been doing it a very long time. Check out our Virginia section in the calendar of events to get more details on reenactment weekend in New Market.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Beth Reardon.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The Federal News Radio United Way Community Spotlight is DC CAP. Did you know that since 1999, DC CAP has worked to double the number of district students who enroll in college and triple the number who graduate? Join DC CAP in its mission to give every DC public and public charter high school student a chance at a college education. Support DC CAP in assisting more DC students today. For more info, visit federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's. Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Today's Pentagon Solutions program focusing on DOD furloughs. You heard Secretary Hagel earlier in the hour, and you can see his comments later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And now hearing highlights of a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing on Army and Air Force budget plans for fiscal 2014. Catherine Hammack of the Army, Kathleen Ferguson of the Air Force, both testifying at this hearing. And in this highlight, questions from the chairman of the subcommittee, Tom Udall. He has some specific questions for Secretary Hammack of the Army about base construction plans and energy programs.
I'm hoping you can clarify about the status of appropriated funds for White Sands Missile Range. The Congress appropriated military construction funds for barracks at White Sands Missile Range for fiscal year 2011. And as I mentioned last week, to date we have only heard excuse after excuse of why this project has not broken ground. Our soldiers at White Sands Missile Range deserve better, and I believe it is about time that DOD and the Army carried out this appropriation. What can you tell me about the status of the barracks, and when will we be able to see this project get started at White Sands Missile Range?
Sir, the project you're talking about is a $29 million project for about 300 barrack spaces. My office put that project on hold pending the stationing actions, which will be announced next month. We do not want to build excess capacity should stationing actions not require that facility. Also, at White Sands Missile Range, my understanding is the barracks occupancy currently is at 79%. That was of January 1st of this year. Because there is barracks capacity currently at White Sands Missile Range with the stationing actions, the project will continue to be on hold until stationing actions indicate that there is a need for those barracks.
When do you expect that to happen?
By the end of next month.
So at the end of next month, that's when you'll have a clearer picture as to whether to move forward or not?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, thank you. White Sands Missile Range is home to one of the largest solar photovoltaic systems in the country, and I want to thank you for your leadership to make this a reality. The solar array will supply about 10% of the energy for White Sands Missile Range and reduce carbon emissions by 7,400 tons per year. This is an important step towards making our bases more energy independent, which I believe is a really important national security issue. Could you talk about future plans for alternative energy and the other programs that are in the works for White Sands, Fort Bliss, and other military installations, and what type of support you need from Congress to make these programs a reality?
One of the initiatives we have is to improve energy security. We have seen between fiscal years 2011 and 2012 a fourfold increase in the number of power disruptions on our bases. That means that we are required to provide more generation on our bases so that we can continue our mission. Renewable energy like that at White Sands helps us continue our mission with that energy security. What we are doing at White Sands, we are looking at Fort Bliss and other bases, and that is to leverage public-private partnerships so that we do not have to come to Congress to ask for the money to invest in renewable energy, but we depend upon the private sector to install it, to operate and maintain it. We buy energy from them at a market or lower than market price. That helps gives us stability in our energy budgets. That also helps with the energy security and mission effectiveness.
Thank you, and we very much appreciate your efforts to move towards these alternative forms of energy and put the military in a position of energy independence, which you know has a big impact on national security. I know I only have another minute. I wanted to raise the issue of the F-16 bed down at Holloman Air Force Base, so let me just cut quickly to that. I mean, how closely is the Army working with the Air Force to help deconflict scheduling issues and airspace coordination to support the F-16 training mission at Holloman? And do you believe White Sands has the facilities and personnel it needs to manage this change in the mission in the range's airspace and at Holloman Air Force Base?
Currently, sequestration is affecting all of us, and the Secretary of Defense announced that there will be 11 furlough days for members of the Department of Defense. That is affecting all of our testing missions at White Sands Missile Range. It's also affecting the availability of deconflicting testing missions with airspace for Holloman. It is a challenge, and it will remain a challenge through the summer. As we have civilians on shortened work hours, we're not allowed to work any overtime, we're not allowed to work any weekends, and they're allowed to only work 32 hours a week. It will impact Holloman as it impacts the Army.
Thank you very much. We're trying to lift that sequester and do everything we can to get you the resources you need.
That is Senator Tom Udall. He is chair of the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Construction, Veterans Affairs, and Related Agencies, asking questions there of Catherine Hammack, Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment. And you can learn more about that hearing and find a video link later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You can also find a video link to Secretary Hagel's comments about DOD furloughs later this afternoon on our website.